Morning. Welcome to Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Press, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. We're going to continue our reading and discussion of the book, A Woman Rides the Beast, by Dave Hunt. Yesterday, we were talking about Dave's description of how absurd it is for Bible critics to assert that the prophecies were written after the fact. And literally, no honest man would make such an assertion unless he were willfully blind to the truth. Now, reading the last paragraph that we read on the program yesterday, for continuity purposes, it says, between the writings of the Old and New Testaments, there were four centuries of silence before God spoke again through his prophets. And not until we come to the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 do we see Daniel's fourth beast again, this time without any reference to the other three, which will be seen no more. That's right, the Medo-Persian, the Babylonian, and the Greek empires are figments of history, although they form the foundation of the fourth beast being just a continuation, the Roman Empire being just a continuation of the previous three, the other three will be seen no more. And he says, furthermore, from this point onward, the fourth beast is seen only in its future revived form. Now, beginning where we left off yesterday, Dave Hunt's going to talk about the dragon, Satan himself. He says, as the prophecy unfolds, Daniel's fourth beast appears to John as, quote, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, unquote. See Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. This is Satan. For a few verses later, we are shown a future, quote, war in heaven. The archangel Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, verses 7 and 9. The interpretation is clear. The revived fourth world empire under Antichrist will be so utterly evil that it is seen as Satan himself. Okay? The Roman Empire, and I'll be explicit in my description of it, it's the Holy Roman Empire, which has been fully rebuilt upon the earth, having once apparently been destroyed by the Protestant Reformation, it is now in full bloom again. A spiritual leader in the world, a temporal leader in the world, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what the papacy is today. And he says, you know, and this is why I make reference to the papacy as the Antichrist, the man of sin and the son of perdition, the one who exalts himself above the stars of God and says that he is God. That's the papacy. And we've confirmed that by reading those very words in papal encyclicals and papal bulls of the past. The popes demand to be worshipped as God on the earth. One encyclical declared the papacy as Jesus Christ himself under a veil of flesh. So, while Dave Hunt may be a little bit confused about who Antichrist is, we here at Inquisition Update are completely convinced it's the papacy and no one else. Says the interpretation is clear, the revived Fourth World Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, under Antichrist, that is, under the popes, will be so utterly evil that it is seen as Satan himself. Okay, the manifestation of Satan on the earth is the papacy. I've said it another way, that the papacy, that Satan, being a spirit without a physical body, has sought a human surrogate to indwell, and through whom he will assert God's status in the world, in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And that human agency is the papacy. Always has been, it still is, and it always will be until Christ comes to destroy him. And he says, what horror lies ahead for this world after Christ has taken his own to his Father's house in the rapture? Now here is David's futurism surfacing once again, and I simply tell my listeners, there's only one last trump. That's the resurrection. Okay? And I don't call it a rapture. I don't confuse the two. The word rapture is never mentioned in Scripture. It's never used. The Bible does talk about a resurrection. And that's where it lies. The idea of a secret rapture came from the power court meetings and from the meetings of the Presbyterian leader whose name escapes me at the moment, right after the publishing of the Jesuit books by Ribera and Lacunza. And they were from ecstatic utterances of a woman who indicated through her ecstatic utterance that there would be this secret catching away. And it's we read the book of Dispensational Futurism and its entry into Protestant Christianity. And it completely reveals the origin of this Jesuit-inspired lie called the rapture of the church. It's simply not taught in the Scriptures. This came by direct revelation to a woman who had been influenced by Jesuit writings. And we've dispelled it. And I can only be so hard on Dave Hunt because I believe the same lie for 50 years of my life. And I see clearly the truth now. And I only wish Dave was still alive so I could discuss it with him. Not that he'd listen to me, but I'd sure like to give it a shot. Anyway, the same fourth beast as seen is seen again in chapter 13, verse 1, rising up out of the sea. I call this the sea beast. Remember, the sea representing peoples and nations and tongues and kindreds? That's the populated area of the world. And the beast rose up out of the sea. The Antichrist, the papacy, rose up out of the populated area of the world, Europe. And that's where prophecy expected him to rise, and that's where he did rise, fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, again, he says the same fourth beast is seen again in chapter 13, rising up out of the sea, as all four beasts did in Daniel chapter 7, verse 3. Here again, it has the telltale, quote, seven heads and ten horns, unquote, but now with, quote, ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy, unquote. The beast is described in the next verse as, quote, like a leopard, like a bear, and like a lion, unquote. So although the other three beasts no longer appear, we're not allowed to forget their continuity that existed between the revived Roman Empire and the three world empires which preceded it all the way back to Babylon. Remember, the beast represents these three previous world empires. The beasts representing these three previous world empires were described as like a leopard and a lion and a bear. See Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 through 6. So, as I said before, these three previous world empires, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the Grecian, literally form the foundation for the fourth and final beast to rule the world, that is the Roman Empire. Now, in Revelation 13, the fourth beast clearly depicts both the revived Roman Empire and Antichrist, whom, quote, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship, unquote. See verse 8. In this remarkable vision of the future, the world also, quote, worships the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, unquote. Now, isn't that Satan's manifest destiny to ultimately get the whole world to worship him? through his vicar, through his papacy. It's all about worshiping Satan, and that's clearly what is happening. And even the Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, or Malachi Martin, if that's the correct way to pronounce his name, admits that the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church worships Satan. And it eventually got him destroyed. Yes, I believe Malachi Martin was a victim of the papacy. He was exposing too much truth about the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. It is a satanic church. I call it the synagogue of Satan. And the whole world should know it and should suspect any influence that the Vatican has in the governments of the world. And we should see the system that is unfolding through our government, this tyrannical new attitude toward the people of the United States, could be characterized as Satan giving control of the government through the papacy. It says in Revelation chapter 13, the fourth beast clearly depicts both the revived Roman Empire and Antichrist, the papacy, whom, quote, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship. And of course, we know worship means obedience. The most pristine form of worship there is obedience. There's no need for ritual or any other so-called religious activity if we believe and obey. That's all God ever asked of his people. Just like our natural fathers, we're required to believe our fathers and to obey our fathers. And if we don't believe them and we don't obey them, we expect punishment. Our God in heaven is no different than our natural fathers, only he is holy. He's incapable of error, and we can trust him implicitly, and we are to work diligently to understand him, to believe him, and to obey him. That is the pristine form of worship. The Pope, or rather Satan, through his vicar, the Pope, expects the same thing. Now, in this remarkable vision of the future, the world also, quote, worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So there you have it. Satan, the dragon, gave the Pope his power and seat and great authority. Not Jesus Christ. Satan himself. And when I see the papacy on television or read newspapers articles about him, I see in him Satan himself, because that's who powers him. That's who guides him and controls him. And when I see his influence in our government and control of our government and passing laws, Roman Catholic canon law, through our government, I see it as Satan's direct influence in our government. And what is Satan's desire? To destroy all of God's people, God's true people. And what have we seen through the papacy, all throughout its history? The destruction of God's true, Bible-believing, obedient people. And it's going to happen right here in the United States again. History is going to repeat itself again. And there's no excuse for Americans to be ignorant about what's happening to the United States of America. Dave Hunt continues, he says, so Satan is again shown to be the power behind Antichrist and his kingdom. Quote, the dragon, Satan, gave him, Antichrist, and I will add the word, the Pope, his power and seat and great authority. Verse 2. During his temptation in the wilderness, Christ was shown by Satan, quote, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, unquote. See Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. The devil then offered it all to Christ, saying, quote, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 9. The love of the world and the lust for power ultimately lead to partnership with Satan and his worship. Of course, Christ refused Satan. Why? Because Christ is going to bring us a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly one. That's for someone else. The earthly one is going to be picked up by someone else. The papacy. That same offer was granted to the papacy, and the papacy is clutching it with both hands. All right? See all the glory of the nations? I will give them to you if you will just bow down and worship me. And that's what the papacy does. Though he calls himself the vicar of Christ, he is none of his. He is the vicar of Satan himself. Now, the love of the world and the lust for power ultimately lead to partnership with Satan and his worship. Of course, Christ refused Satan. Tragically, a persecution-weary church would fall for the same offer when it would later be made through Constantine. Now, I disagree, again, with Dave Hunt. The true believers of Jesus Christ, though they were persecution-weary, they never succumbed. Not true believers ever succumbed to the papacy. I may stand corrected in history, but there was a great falling away, no doubt about it, but that's when they ceased to be God's people. Now, Christ did not dispute Satan's claim to ownership of the world. Quote, "For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." See Luke chapter 4, verse 6. As John reminds us, quote, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." And it might just as well be read, "The whole world lieth in the hands of the wicked one, Satan." See verse 18 and 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And also 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. It is Satan, permitted by God for his own purposes, who delivers the Antichrist, the world which Christ refused. So that offer that Christ rejected has been accepted by the papacy. And the papacy fulfills the office of Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Now, Dave Hunt believes that the Antichrist doesn't come until the last 7 years before Christ's return. He's deceived. The papacy always has been the Antichrist of the Scriptures. That's what the Protestant Reformers believed, and because the popular teaching of a future Antichrist has so overwhelmed the Protestant Reformation so much as to lay it waste, the whole world is deceived and doesn't see the papacy for the Antichrist that it is, and that's why they don't investigate, nor do they suspect, that the papacy is in control of our government and always has been. And were they ever to awaken to the Protestant reality that the papacy was, is, and always will be the Antichrist, then we might have a chance to restore Protestantism in this country and to restore a Protestant form of government and to regain our liberties. But that's not going to happen because futurism has completely contaminated the Protestant faith so much so that they have literally repudiated the Protestant Reformation. And they've become ecumenical as a result and want to reunite with the Roman Catholic Church and reunite with all the other pagan religions of the world. And this is what we get for forgetting our Protestant roots and what the Protestant Reformers taught. Dave Hunt was part of that deception. It saddens me to say so. He believed the same lies that have deceived the whole Protestant world. Now, he talks about the coming world religion. You know, once the Protestant Reformer has been, the Protestant Reformation has been repudiated by Protestants themselves, now the papacy is free to reorganize all the Christian world. And that's exactly what's happening. He says an image will be made of the beast and all who do not bow down and worship it, and through it, the Antichrist as God will be slain. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. Such was the practice in ancient Roman Empire. We are thus being told that the religion of Rome, with its emperor worship, will be revived as well. Religion must, in fact, not only be involved in Antichrist's New World Order, but it must be preeminent. For Satan, who controls both Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire, is the god of this world. See 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and desires its worship with a passion. A woman who rides the beast in Revelation chapter 17 undoubtedly represents that world religion, as we shall see. Religion was always the dominant element in ancient world empires, including the four depicted by Nebuchadnezzar's image and Daniel's four beasts. Priests, soothsayers, sorcerers, and I will add the word magi's, were the closest advisors to rulers for centuries of years, and in most instances were the real power behind the throne, manipulating sovereigns by their quote-unquote magic and devious counsel. Science itself had its roots in the occult, beginning in astrology and alchemy. Materialism, skepticism, and atheism are of fairly recent origin, and will be submerged in the tidal wave of renewed interest in quote-unquote spirituality, which is already gathering momentum exactly as Jesus foretold for the last days. See Matthew chapter 24, verses 4, 5, 11, and 24. Excuse me. Atheism is not Satan's major weapon in his campaign to deceive mankind into following him. He himself is not an atheist, for his great ambition, quote, I will be like the Most High. In other words, I will be like God. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14. That statement itself acknowledges God's existence. Satan wants to be worshipped as God, but since he is a non-physical being without a body of his own, he will have to be satisfied in receiving his worship through a man, a human agent who represents him, the Antichrist, and I will add the word, the papacy. As the god of this world, Satan's weapon is false religion and the deceitful promises they present, which turn aside those who believe them from knowing God's truth. The fact that religion will play a dominant role in the revived Roman Empire, as in ancient times, is clearly portrayed by the fact that the woman who represents the New World religion has mounted the beast and is holding the reins. He's speaking specifically of that vision shown us in Revelation chapter 17, the woman riding the beast. Now he's going to talk about satanic resurrection. It says, in the future unfolding of the revelation of the fourth beast, John saw, quote, one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Revelation 13:3. And we'll continue with this line of thinking when we turn from the break. You're listening to Inquisition Update on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. We'll be right back.
pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Okay, back to the book. This is Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio for formality purposes. Now we'll return to the book, A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. He says, in the further unfolding of the revelation of the fourth beast, John saw, quote, one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. See Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. Now, there's many dispute how this was fulfilled in history. Some say that the old Roman Empire died and was resurrected under the Holy Roman Empire. That has merit. But nonetheless, the Bible says one of its kings would receive what appeared to be a mortal wound. And I believe the literal fulfillment of this, the biblical fulfillment of this, was as a result of the Protestant Reformation, the French Revolution, which the sentiments of all Europe were set against the papacy, because of the Protestant Reformation and the reality that the Pope was the literal Antichrist of the Scripture. During the French Revolution, Napoleon's general Berthier broke through the walls of the Vatican and captured the papacy and took him into prison where he died. And it's also believed that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy that says that he who lives by the sword shall perish by the sword. Now, the papacy had wielded the sword against God's people for hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, and literally soaked Europe with the blood of the saints and the prophets and all the slain of true Bible Christianity. And that's when the papacy received its mortal wound. It appeared to have been completely destroyed. But it exists today. So the wound was not mortal. And the papacy has regained all the strength that it ever had before the Protestant Reformation. Because of futurism and the belief that Antichrist is in the future and it is not the papacy, the world has allowed the regrowth of the papacy to the current status that it has today. Were it not for futurism, there would still be opposition in the world from Protestants protesting the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome. But because of futurism, we now have ecumenism. And the papacy is stronger now than he ever was in the past. He embraces not only everything that is known as Christendom, but he also embraces all the other pagan religions of the world. He literally has controlling interest and power in all the nations of the world. The world is accepting the papacy now as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what this New World Order is all about. It's simply the reestablishment of the old world order on a global scale. If the papacy claims the earth is mine and the fullness thereof, and he will not stop until he rules every man, woman, and child on the planet, and he rules them through the governments of every nation who are subservient to the papacy. All right, when General Berthier of Napoleon's army captured the papacy and took him into prison, the papacy was literally, well, without a head. Without a head. There was no head for the Roman Catholic Church. It is taught in Roman Catholic canon law that he is the church. And the papacy vacillated, just lived in like a prisoner in the Vatican. They, when they elected a new pope, he had no power. All he could do was control the Vatican proper, the so-called holy city, the so-called eternal city, 108 acres. Imagine that. And it wasn't until 1929 at the Lateran Accords by Mussolini who gave the papacy back his kingly status in the world. And that was even reported in the newspapers. The San Francisco Chronicle, I believe it said, the deadly wound is healed. Now, if this wasn't the literal fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel, I don't know what is. But nonetheless, since 1929, in a very short span of time, the papacy has regained all the strength it lost as a result of the Protestant Reformation, and then some. Now, Dave Hunt continues, he says, to many interpreters, this vision means that the Antichrist himself will be killed and raised to life again. Others believe that an Antichrist figure from the past, such as Hitler or Nero, will come back to life and rule the New World Order. On the contrary, neither a past evil ruler nor the future Antichrist will come back from the grave because Satan does not have the power to create life. And I agree with that. But we have one example whereby Satan may once again deceive the people of the world, and that's the example of the witch at Endor. And I'll leave it to my listeners to read that for themselves. Now, he says this does not eliminate the possibility that the world may be deceived into believing that a resurrection has taken place. However, the language of Revelation chapter 13, verse 3 does not encourage that idea, according to Dave Hunt. Now, quote, one of his heads, unquote, received a deadly wound would not indicate that the entire beast was dead, but rather that he was mortally wounded in one aspect of his being. Although the heads are said to represent kings, it could not be a literal king who was killed and raised to life for the reasons already given. The beast and his heads represent several things at once: kings, kingdoms, Satan, the Antichrist, and the revived Roman Empire. The latter has within it the elements of death and apparent resurrection. The Roman Empire did indeed die, though not completely, inasmuch as the fragments remained along with the perpetual hope of ultimate resurrection. And it is alive and well today. It says when that resurrection does take place under Antichrist, it will be as though an empire, not a person, came back from the dead. And one who studies the Vatican's power in the world and the influence that he has over the governments and the kings of the world, it cannot be described in any other way than the old Holy Roman Empire is now well, alive and well again, to steal a phrase coined by Stewart, the author of the book Code Word Babylon, P.D. Stewart. Now, that God intends to establish his own kingdom on earth, and that the revived Roman Empire stands in its way and must be destroyed for God's kingdom to appear, is clear as well. This was shown at the very beginning of this progressive revelation in the stone smashing the image and filling the earth. That's speaking of the prophecy of the metal man image seen in Daniel. Now, it is equally clear that Antichrist is Satan's counterfeit of Christ, and that the revived Roman Empire is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God on earth. And with this, I wholly agree with Dave Hunt. Let me read it again. It is equally clear that Antichrist, that is the papacy, is Satan's counterfeit of Christ, and that the revived Roman Empire, that which we are all subject to today, is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God on earth. That is very correct as far as I'm concerned. Now, the first and future Antichrist. Now, Dave's futurism is going to creep back in, and I'm going to squish it like a bug. It says the prefix anti comes from the Greek language and has two meanings. Number one, opposed to, and number two, in the place of or a substitute for. Antichrist will embody both these meanings. He will indeed oppose Christ, but in the most diabolically clever way it could be done, by pretending to be Christ and thus perverting Christianity from within. Well said, Dave Hunt. And it says, indeed, Antichrist will, quote, sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And that's exactly what the papacy does. Now, if Antichrist pretends to be Christ and is worshipped by the world as it is today, see Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, then his followers are, of course, Christians. That's right. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves Christians. The greatest apostasy, the greatest lie ever told, is believed by Christians. Let me read it again. If Antichrist pretends to be Christ and is worshipped by the world, then his followers must, of course, be Christians. Now do you have a concept of just how corrupt Christianity is? You see now why I prefer to call myself a Bible believer, and more specifically, a King James Bible believer? Christianity has been hijacked. The Word has been hijacked. and the whole system of belief has been hijacked. He says not communism, but Christianity will take over the world, and not real Christianity, but an antichrist counterfeit thereof. You know who he's talking about? All the Christian churches in this country. It's a counterfeit Christianity. And it certainly is a counterfeit Christianity if it acknowledges the Pope as a Christian, or a spiritual leader, or a moral leader in the world. If it reckons the papacy as anything but the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist, it is not Christianity. And that's why I tell people unapologetically, and I'm criticized for this all the time, the worst place for a man of God to be is in the churches today. Satan has entered the sanctuary, preaching lies, destroying the belief that God intended for us all to have and hold and understand, teaching that the Pope is a Christian, and that we ought to ecumenically reunite with the Pope, that we ought to seek peace and unity with Satan's vicar on earth. Look, you know, I'm accused of being brash and rough around the edges when I say that we all have a responsibility. Walk into our churches, catch the pastor alone, and walk up to him face to face and ask him, who is the Antichrist? And if he even stops, pauses to take a breath before he answers, the Antichrist is the papacy, then kick his diabolical butt to the curb and go get you a real man of God to preach behind the pulpit. Go get you a Protestant to preach behind the pulpit. Restore the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in your churches, or simply walk out. Our churches preach that we have to obey our government no matter what, because God instituted the government. They failed to tell you that what the government is supposed to do in this world is to reward good and to punish evil. And who determines what is good and evil? God Himself. Government has no other role in the world but to uphold the law of God. Not to add to and not to take away from. And the government of the United States says you shall not speak ill of any other religion. And particularly the quote-unquote Christian religion, this monstrosity led by the papacy called Christianity today. I've heard it said America is not a Christian nation, and under that context, it is not a Christian nation. It is a satanic nation. Any nation that would allow the papacy to come through his priests and his prelates to dictate to our government what laws to pass and what laws not to pass, and to bind us all as slaves to a system that God forbids, a socialist system where we all pool our money together, where wickedness prevails, to strengthen the wickedness in our nation instead of being a separate people, holy and dedicated to God, is not a Christian nation. It is an Antichrist nation. We all have to realize that we're all slaves to this government. And that's simply because we've returned to the Babylonian Pharaoh, the Roman Pharaoh, the Pope of Rome. We allow Catholics to sit in the high offices of our government, even in the presidency itself, disguised as Protestants, evangelicals, ecumenical evangelibellies, all kissing the ring of the Pope. We allow those people to control our government to make us all slaves. And we're all happy little slaves, aren't we? I tell you what, I'm no longer happy in my servitude. No longer happy. I repent of my servitude. God made me free to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and not to be subject to the Antichrist of the Bible. Our government represents the Antichrist of the Bible, not Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. My patriotism has been destroyed by the truth. I no longer worship my government as a god. And I suggest that we all loosen our grip on this thing we call America, because it no longer serves Christ, it serves Antichrist. And until we make our kingdom Christ's, then we are without a nation, because our nation does not serve us anymore. Nicholas would say, if he were here, he would say, Tom, you're ready to cross the border. If Antichrist pretends to be Christ and is worshipped by the world, then his followers are, of course, Christians. Not communism, but Christianity will take over the world, and not real Christianity, but an Antichrist counterfeit thereof. Thus the great apostasy precedes the revelation of Antichrist. See 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Part of the apostasy is the ecumenical movement, which is literally setting the stage for a union between all religions and even influences evangelicals as well. An Antichrist Christianity must be created which embraces all religions and which all religions will embrace, precisely what is occurring today with astonishing speed. We have documented this development in other books, such as Global Peace and the Rise of Antichrist, and we'll have much more to say about it later. The Latin equivalent, listen carefully, you'll find this familiar if you're a regular listener to Inquisition Update. The Latin equivalent of the Greek word anti, or the prefix anti, is vicarious, from which comes the word vicar. Thus, the vicar of Christ literally means Antichrist. This is no play with words. This is no trick. This is direct dictionary meanings. The prefix anti is equivalent to the word vicarious, the article of which is vicar, which is the very title of the Pope, the vicar of Christ, and it literally means Antichrist. Although the Roman Catholic popes have called themselves vicar of Christ, in other words, Antichrist, for centuries, they were not the first to do so, but inherited that title from Constantine. His future counterpart, the coming world ruler over the revived Roman Empire, will be the Antichrist. The popes, they all carry that title. How Dave Hunt can be confused about a future Antichrist is beyond my comprehension. He says, as already noted, in the ancient Roman Empire, the emperor was worshipped as God. As such, he was the leader of the pagan priesthood and of the official state-sponsored pagan religion of the empire. An image was made to the Caesars, before which the citizens were required to bow and worship. Those who refused to acknowledge the emperor as God were killed. And so it will be when the Roman Empire is revived under Antichrist. See, Dave Hunt is speaking about this as though it's going to be something that's going to occur in the future. He's contradicting himself at best. He has already acknowledged that the papacy has always called itself the Vicar of Christ, the Antichrist. Why does Dave Hunt wait for a future one? He says, those who refused to acknowledge the emperor as God were killed, and so it will be when the Roman Empire is revived under Antichrist. This fact is clearly presented in the extensive vision Christ gave to John. Quote, "And he causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast." Now that he is the second beast, the wilderness beast. "He causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast," that is the papacy, "saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Revelation chapter 13, verse 12 through 15. So how can Dave Hunt place the onus of Antichrist on a future individual? The popes have always required the kings of the earth to bow and worship him, and commanded those kings to go back to their realms and exterminate the true Bible-believing Christians and to make slaves of the rest of their citizens and to put them under Roman Catholic canon law. Why wait for a future Antichrist when he's been here all along? Because it's Satan's trick. If we're waiting for a future Antichrist and we don't suspect him in the here and the now, and we don't see how he controls our governments, just like he has always done, and make us submit to Roman Catholic canon law without our knowledge, and there ought to be enough Protestant Reformation left in this country to point out each and every law that is passed by our government that puts us under Roman yoke. But there's not enough Protestantism left in this country to even suspect that our government is under the control of the papacy. And they don't recognize Roman Catholic canon law, and they don't recognize Roman Catholic canon law because they don't recognize God's holy law. We are in a most desperate state of apostasy in this country. And if we don't return to true Bible-believing Protestantism, if we don't put Christ back on his throne, if we don't acknowledge him as the only legitimate lawgiver in the universe, and if we don't acknowledge his status as King of Kings and Lord of Lords by obeying his law, the most pristine form of worship, then we will fall to Antichrist, both spiritually and temporally. And that's precisely what's happening in the United States today. There isn't a man, woman, or child on this planet that doesn't ultimately worship the beast. Because we obey him, we have to, or the SWAT teams come. The German Shepherds come. The M16s come. The tanks come. The fire hoses come. We're all made to worship the beast in fear of our own lives if we don't. Well, my life isn't worth a nickel if it ends in a fiery grave for eternity. Why live this life in disobedience against the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords and in compliance with the law of Antichrist? America, a Christian nation? Hardly. That's all we have on Inquisition Update this week. We'll continue our reading of the book, A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. We'll see you Monday.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my best.